Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for this word tonight, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody while you're being seated, unless you have the flu. Tonight I want to address the subject of the last days. The last days. I really don't think that this is a difficult subject to understand. But there is a lot of confusion. And even when a person reads Matthew 24, Mark 13, or Luke 21, and they read Jesus' discourse, you might say, on not just on eschatology, but right from the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and we did talk about that. But some people seem to think that there's a division in the last days, that the last days are divided into the former rain and the latter rain, or the former house and the latter house, or the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost and then the second outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to disagree with that tonight, if I may. And I'm just going to tell you what I believe, and I hope that when I'm through, you believe the same thing. I really do hope that you do believe, because it'll answer a lot of your questions and solve a lot of your problems. Everybody say, the last days. How many believe we're living in the last days? Amen. Amen. How many believe that Martin Luther was living in the last days? Amen. How many believe that the Apostle Paul was living in the last days? How many believe that Jesus Christ was living in the last days? You all are right. You that dared to say we're living in the last days. Praise the Lord. But now, what event marks the beginning of the last days? How can we tell when the last days began? Can we tell because Israel became a nation? May what? 14 or 15, 1948? Or can we tell that this is the last days because of the Six-Day War, when the Jews recaptured the city, the Wailing Wall and so forth, that part of the city of Jerusalem that they hadn't had control of? What marks the beginning of the last days? Now that was what, June 5 through 10, the Six-Day War, 1967? Is that what marks the last days? Or was it the First World War that marked the last days? Or was it the rise of Mussolini or Hitler that marked the beginning of the last days? No. Surprising to a lot of people, the fact is, the event that marks the beginning of the last days is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. That's what the Bible says. Some people are shocked to find that out. Otherwise, you have no scripture for saying that the last days began in May 14 or June 7 or whatever date. You have to pick and choose an arbitrary date. If you're going to divide that up, you can't do it. You can't do it. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost was not the former rain. It was the latter rain. It was not the former revival. It's the last day revival. You know what, folks? God's a little older than most of us. Maybe, perhaps all of us, you know. And we get hung up on a little 2,000-year period as though, oh, it couldn't be. It couldn't be the last days. It has to be something former days before that. What marks the beginning of the last days? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 say, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. When was the book of Hebrews written? 1800 and what? When was the book of Hebrews written? Way back yonder in the first century, huh? Well, then, right here he says, hath in these last days. So, when are the last days? Did they just suddenly appear in your lifetime, in my lifetime? No way! They've been going on for nearly 2,000 years. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, Paul, I believe, is writing the book of Hebrews or the epistle to the Hebrews. He says, these are the last days right now. I am writing in the last days. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. How about Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26? The Bible says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world. The writer again says, Jesus died in the end of the world. He didn't die in the beginning of the world. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, yes. But he, now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This speaks of the first coming of Jesus, to put away our sins, to save our souls. Amen. 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, Peter is writing, but was manifest in these last times for you. The end of the world, the last days, the last times. Are we getting the message? Okay, the book of Hebrews was written around 63 AD. That was the last days. The book of 1 Peter was written about 60 AD. Those were the last days, the last times. Question, what event marks the beginning of the last days? Answer, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus to earth. Amen. And Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and I kind of like to put it this way, that he formally announced the beginning of the last days. And it shall come to pass, he's quoting from Joel 2, 28 and 29, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is Joel prophesying. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, maids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. This was all fulfilled in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And Peter quotes those very verses. Now, when Joel says it shall come to pass afterward, Peter sheds light on that. Peter says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. That's not 1998 or the 20th century. That's the first century. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Don't argue with God. I'm not going to argue with God. He says it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my Spirit, of my Spirit, upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians was written around 59 A.D. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, that's the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. They were living in the end of the world when in 59 AD in the Corinthian church, they were living in the last days, they were living in the end of the world, they were living in the last times. Praise the Lord. I certainly believe it because I'm reading it. And I'm reading it from the Bible, not a funny book or a comic book or a newspaper or some other book by some uninspired man. I'm reading from the Holy Bible. Amen. So, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24:3, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age," or the end of the world? The world is eon there, number 165. Eons and eons, ages and ages. Okay, so tell us when these things shall be. What were they talking about? They were talking about the destruction of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem. And of course, Jesus expanded on that. So they came to him and said, "When shall these things be?" He told them that the... Now listen to me. He told them that the temple would be destroyed. Now get this. Not merely in 70 AD, but it would be destroyed in the last days. That's within the scope of the last days. I get excited about it. Because if you'll hear me tonight, you'll be able to put Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 together. You'll be able to understand everything that Jesus talked about, because he didn't talk about just one thing. He talked about several things that would happen, but he said they will all be in the last days. We know that they'll be in the last days because the last days came when Jesus came. Hath in these last days. That's what it says. Okay. So, they asked him, "When shall these things be?" Okay. The destruction of Jerusalem. And, because that's what Jesus was talking about. "There shall not be one stone here left upon another. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Well, men have struggled on one side of the fence and one belief, and on the other side of the fence another belief, and trying to make everything fit. Just kind of categorically, you know, and this was here and this was here. Really, you don't have to do that when you understand that the whole thing happens in the last days. Listen, what did he talk about? He talked about the destruction of the temple first, and he talked about his coming in the clouds of glory, and he talked about sending forth his angels to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. He's talking about the last days. He's talking about the whole period of time called the last days. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Let me read it again. "When shall these things be?" In the last days. If that's your answer, it's so easy. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" In the last days. "And of the end of the world?" In the last days. You can put it all together. You can put it all together. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." It is the first coming of Jesus. It is, here's my little statement, it is the first coming of Jesus that marks the beginning of the last days. Oh, we're in the last days now. We see the signs everywhere. So did Paul. So did Peter. So did Martin Luther. So did John Wesley. So did Dwight L. Moody. So do you. There is no sign or prophecy given in Scripture that sectionalizes the New Testament. You'd be good to memorize that, to get that concept. There is no sign. There is no prophecy. There is no date given. There is no event given that says, now we can put this date down. We are in the last days. You don't have to bother, friend. It's already down in the Holy Scripture that when Jesus came, he was born in the last days. And when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it was in the last days. Praise the Lord. Okay, try to get this concept now. There is no sign, there is no prophecy given in Scripture that sectionalizes the New Testament. In fact, if there is, tell me. what 2 Corinthians 6:2 means when it says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, let's see now. I couldn't get saved before the day of salvation, and now I couldn't get saved after the day of salvation. Oh, let's see now. When is the day of salvation? You don't have to think that hard. You don't have to think that hard at all. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus is salvation. Jesus brought salvation. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is God's plan of salvation. Jesus is the way. And when he came, it's the day of salvation. Aren't you glad you're living in the day of salvation? Praise the Lord. And you know what day it is? It's the last day. Amen. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, and there is no prophecy, no sign given in the scripture that breaks that routine. No sign, no prophecy in the scripture that stops that and says, now this is going to happen, or now that's going to happen. No, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Are you saved tonight? You can be. If you're not saved tonight, this is the day of salvation. And I'd get saved quick. I'd get saved as quick as I could, because this is the day of salvation. You have no promise of tomorrow. And we have no promise of life continuing. Okay, so. What event marks the beginning of the last days? Well, at least we know that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost does for certain, plus the other scriptures I gave you. When did Peter say that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh? In the last days. Are you sure of that? Are you confident that that's what Joel meant? But we're reading books and we're hearing sermons that are saying that now the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon all flesh. Some people have gone so far as to say that's on squirrels and donkeys and cats and dogs, and it must be the millennium then, see, because the Holy Ghost poured out on everything. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Was the Holy Ghost ever poured out in the Old Testament? Yes. But now it's poured out on all flesh, not just Jewish flesh, but Gentile flesh. It shall come to pass, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Gentiles won't be excluded. Oh, I love what I believe. So what event marks the beginning of the last days? That New Testament, it's all the last days. When did Peter say the Holy Ghost would be poured out upon all flesh? In the last days. What Old Testament prophet did Peter quote regarding the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Joel, yes. Okay, no. Joel said in 2:21, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. For the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bringeth forth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength." Listen to this. Somebody came to me with this scripture. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately." Now, Brother Tamberg, that was on the day of Pentecost. That's what they tell me. See. That former rain fell on the day of Pentecost, and now he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And now, in 19... what was that date again? I keep forgetting. What was that date the Holy Ghost... Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, 1900, wasn't it? January 31st, 1900, I think, New Year's Eve or something. Is that right? Is that when the outpouring... The latter rain fell? Well, when did the... If we have a former rain and a latter rain here, when did the latter rain fall? On the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. What's the former rain then? Well, you know what we have a tendency to do? Exclude the Old Testament saints and prophets. Those that we are supposed to follow. Those whose faith we are supposed to follow, commanded to follow. But we just exclude them and we're it. We're it. Right? What do you think of that? And we just exclude them. We ignore them as though they're non-entities. They're nothing. They're worthless or something. I don't feel that way, folks. Well, I tell you, I'd like to have the faith of Elijah. Elisha. And so, in fact, I think I'm supposed to contend for that kind of faith. Praise the Lord. Okay. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. Old Testament saints, moderately. Did you know that the Old Testament saints had all the gifts of the Holy Ghost except tongues and interpretation? And that's what they did on the day of Pentecost. They spoke in tongues. Didn't they have faith? Didn't they have discerning of spirits? Didn't they have knowledge, wisdom? Sure they did. I believe they had all the gifts of the Spirit except tongues and interpretation. Okay. So, to me, the former rain is the Old Testament. The latter rain is the New Testament. It's so easy when you do it that way. It's so easy when you think that way. But we're not done yet. Okay. According to Joel, explain what you feel is the difference. This is your homework. Is the difference between the former rain and the latter rain? This is what I believe, see. I'm just telling you what I believe, and that's what I'm doing in this lesson. If anybody believes differently than I do, you just go ahead and help yourself and try to have as good a time as I do and believe in your thing, what you believe. You know? Praise the Lord. I'm happy. So, is it possible that the former rain was the Old Testament and the latter rain the New Testament? Now listen, he says, he hath given you, past tense, the former rain moderately, but you got something coming. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. Not just two new gifts, but all the former rain gifts too. Hello? The whole business, the whole thing. Now you don't have to believe that. That's not a requirement to belong to this church. It's not even a requirement to get along well with me, no. Amen. So here's another verse that people really preach on. Haggai 2:9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And they say, see there? The first house, day of Pentecost, in this last day church is going to be greater. I've heard people preachers preach, that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. You see, the Apostle Paul, Peter, the apostles, and all the early church, Deacon Stephen, who was martyred for the Lord, all of these men constituted the infant church. We are the mature church. And I go, mature? Paul, an infant, and me, mature? Hello, come again. No way. Paul, infant? Me, mature? Compared to Paul, I'll tell you, I would be foolish comparing myself among Paul and those apostles and prophets. Oh, my. So it says. But it says this, Brother Tambor. Here's what it says. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. But what is that talking about? Do you want to read that? Do I have it here? Yes, I have it right here. Okay. In your Bible, Haggai 2, 1 through 9. Haggai, can you find it? I think it's about the third last book of the Old Testament, somewhere in there. Is it? Help me, Melissa. Third last book? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, I want to explain what the former house and the latter house refer to. The former house refers not to the day of Pentecost. And the latter house does not refer to 19-whatever. And the latter house refers to Zerubbabel's temple. That's it, folks. That's what it's talking about. And it's greater than you think. It's greater than I think. Because Jesus is greater than we think. Listen to it. Verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw Solomon's temple? Saw this house in her first glory. That's Solomon's temple. Who here has seen Solomon's temple? How do you see it now? How do you see it now? How do you see it now, since it's Zerubbabel's temple? Okay. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? It was a very, very poor duplication of that first temple. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now to me, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's not some 20th century church. That's Jesus. Way back 2,000 years ago, I will shake all nations and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh yes, yes. Solomon might have had the silver. Solomon might have had the gold. Solomon might have had the expensive everything. But the glory of this latter house is going to far exceed, infinitely exceed, the glory of the former house. Even though it was so expensive and so costly, so exquisite, and Zerubbabel's temple was nothing in comparison to it, yet God says, Zerubbabel, don't you worry. Don't you worry. The glory of your house, the glory of this latter house, is going to be greater, infinitely greater than the glory of the former house. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is going to step into that house. Amen. In fact, Mary and Joseph in Luke 2:22 took him. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. Stepped into the temple to present him to the Lord. That glory right there, that outdid Solomon's temple right there when they brought Jesus into that temple. But that's not all. And when they went to Jerusalem for the Passover, they lost Jesus, they found him in the temple. Amen. He was sitting in the temple and he was baffling the doctors of the law. Those profound professors of the scriptures. That's his glory. That's his glory. That glory. They didn't see it. They didn't know it, but God said it. Praise the Lord. And then in the cleansing of the temple, he was there. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's beautiful. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer. You talk about glory. Hallelujah. But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the... What? Anybody got it open? Where'd they come to Jesus? The lame and the blind were healed in the temple. You talk about glory. Glory. Folks, this has nothing whatsoever to do with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Has nothing to do with it. It even makes a poor analogy. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. Praise the Lord. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Anybody catching? Anybody getting it? Anybody understanding it? That the former house and the latter house has nothing to do with the former rain and the latter rain. Absolutely, totally zip. Nothing to do with it. Nothing. 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 There is not a reference to it in the Bible. Nothing. But you can... We can talk about this great revival that we're going to have. And I believe in revival. And I believe God had us build this larger building so that we could have more people come in and get... God loves people. But He's loved people all through the last days for thousands of years. He doesn't love just us. He's always loved people. He always will love people. Praise the Lord. So the glory of the latter house greater than the glory of the former house, because Jesus entered that house. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, something's just coming to me now, but here's Mr. Muscle Man, handsome. Mr. America, Mr. Universe, you know. And you know, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. This guy's really got a great temple. You know, glory. Just, I mean, the Bible even says that the glory of a man is his strength. And so here's this guy, you know, he's got just the right size calves and thighs and waist. And one guy I read about had his chest was twice as big as his waist. 28-inch waist and a 56-inch chest. I mean, he was. I remember his name even right now. It's coming to me. I can't think of it, but I remember it. I lost it. I had it and I lost it. You ever do that? So here's this. You know how they stand? They grease their bodies. You know, they put grease all over them, and they're whatever they call these muscles and these muscles. And then they'll, how do they do it? Like this. And then the other one back here somehow. And they pose, you know, this glorious temple. This glorious temple. And so people look. People look and they go, wow. That's what they did to Solomon's temple. Wow. That's why God had to come down and say, isn't that, I don't know. He says, God comes down and says, this latter temple, Zerubbabel's temple, is going to be greater in spite of all the, you know, in spite of all of that, in spite of all the gold and the silver and the expensive everything. It's going to be greater. So everybody's excited about looking for that temple, you know. But it's not greater. He says, who was left among you that saw the first temple, and now you see this, and it's nothing in your eyes. It's just nothing in your eyes. Some old people that outlived it, you know. And I thought of Mr. America, Mr. Universe, you know, and you give him a lot of credit because it took a lot of work to get a body like that, you know. Give Solomon a lot of credit. It took a lot of work to build a temple like that. So here's God. Look, everybody's ooing and aahing, you know. And here's God. Here's God now. He's looking. He's saying, what's so great about that? What's so great about that? You know, God looking. And then Frank McHugh walks by. That's great, God says. That's great. I'm in that temple. I entered into that temple. That's what makes the glory of the latter house greater than the glory of the former. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh, Jesus. Close with this scripture. The temple. Destroy this temple in 3 days. Build it up. I will rebuild it. I will raise it up. Jesus said, didn't he? Amen. They destroyed that ugly thing. There's no beauty that we should desire him. In Jesus' eyes, he was fit to be killed, murdered. Right? The temple. Jesus. Do you know that Jesus, without boasting or exaggerating one little bit, he said, a greater than the temple is here. A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Jonas is here. Folks, I tell you what we need to do. We don't need to worship our mega churches. We need to worship our great God. Our great God. Would you stand and worship him with me tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you're great. Thank you, Lord, for indwelling our temple, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for filling us, our bodies. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You have filled our bodies, our physical flesh and blood, Lord. You have filled us with your Spirit, O God, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're great, you're mighty, you're wonderful, you're marvelous, Lord.